the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Shunk.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Ufer.
So flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is kicked.
Save it for Missy Ack. Missy Ack. Wraparound attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Shawn Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaliva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Shawn, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, and we appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. The Joe Shawn Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach will be joining us in just a moment. The Huskies with a week off this past weekend. Now we'll get set for a long stretch of being on the road. Four straight weekends of road games for Michigan Tech, and it all starts against Wisconsin, the top 20 ranked Wisconsin Badgers, who went 1-1 this past weekend. We'll have a lot to talk about as far as Wisconsin and their team, and one guy on their team that already has 5 goals in 4 games for the Wisconsin Badgers. We'll talk about him and what the Wisconsin Badgers will be like down at Kohl Center this Friday and Saturday night. Now, game times are at 8:07 both nights, so our pregame's here at 7:30 right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. A lot of non-conference WCHA play this weekend. The Northern Michigan Wildcats really struggled against the St. Cloud State University Huskies. We'll have a lot more on that. I was surprised at those scores. Even though I know how good St. Cloud is, I was surprised how bad or how much the Wildcats struggled. But we'll have lots to talk about. Coach will be with us in just a moment. Right now it's time for a weather forecast, and it's brought to you by Harders of Calumet.
When you need to find a bar at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Purchase 2 gallons of Arctic Fan RV Marine Antifreeze for only $8. Offer valid through October 24th at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Welcome back to the Joe Shawn Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are excited because the Huskies are back in action this weekend at the Wisconsin Badgers at Kohl Center Friday and Saturday night, 8:07. Now, two real big non-conference games, as they all are, Coach, but the Huskies really want to get one on Friday night, get in that win column, and I guess, how did the week of practice go?
It was a training week. We went through systems. We attention to detail type of a week to get some focus. We have some areas that we came out of the our first series against Duluth that we felt we had to work on, and we spent some time on that to help some, you know, to help us out in different ways, to offer more support in different ways, to alter our offense in some different ways to try to, you know, make the most of what we have. So it's all adaptability and trying to make it work, and had some team meetings and things like that to try to make sure that we have a focus going forward, that will help us get to what we want, so that we can be whatever that. And so we're hoping to get some good growth and looking forward. And we gave the guys a little bit of rest over the weekend to give them time to refresh mentally and physically, because we pushed them pretty hard last week. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll pay off. And we'd love to get as much as we can right now out of our group and be in a great place, but we're more concerned with where we end up than where we are right now, you know, the type of team that we have down the stretch and how we have to play. So that's what's really important, to be prepared. I think everybody saw that was our focus last year. We do put accountability measures in place, and right now what we're trying to do is get the group as a whole, get the leadership core of the group to First of all, manage themselves, and then manage the group. Right now, we're at the stage where the coaches have to really take a real aggressive leadership role, and we're trying to get it to the point where the leadership core extends the coaching staff, and then starts passing that on and getting other guys involved one by one.
Was there a difference in the mood of the team coach early in the week of practice compared to later in the week, where maybe the sting of the two Duluth games is still kind of with them early in the week, and were they able?
I think the mood actually stayed consistent. I think there's actually a little pushback right now, because of what we're trying, the accountability measures we're trying to put in place. Leadership is trying to get people to want to do what they don't want to do personally, which won't make them, which won't make them stand out personally for the good of the group. And that's what we're trying to put in place right now, to make sure that the group is the healthiest it can be, which means that some individuals don't necessarily get to have it the way that they want it. So we're going through those growing pains. It's something you go through all the time. You'd hope that some of the lessons that we learned a year ago, right, would be carrying over, and that. Like I would have thought that maybe we would go in and give up some scoring opportunities, obviously, to Duluth. And they did it this week, and they threw virtually 50 shots two games in a row at Maine. They're doing it to everybody. We held them to 38, and they're not giving up much. But I would have expected us to be able to transition the puck better, to create some more offense, to do things like that. So what we have to get our players to learn is a good offense will come off of defense. And those are the types of things that will always, and defense is really desire, right? It's really a want thing. It's, anybody can play defense to the best of their abilities. Offense is a come and go thing. Offense is it's a cat versus dog. You call your dog, it'll always come. That's your defense. It should always be there. A cat might not. If you have food, if you have a catnip, if you have something, if you can entice it enough, the offense might be there. The cat might come. That's it. So we got to make sure that dog is always in place, and that our defense is always good, and that we find ways that we can be successful, when the cat side of us comes out, that we can, still have enough to compete.
So when you're talking about individuals coaching, needing to get them into the whole team concept, are we talking right now of upperclassmen or lowerclassmen?
I'm not,
underclassmen?
Yeah, I don't want to single, we're not singling anybody out, but what we're looking for right now is that we have great kids. You've heard me say before that your best players have to be your best people. We have great people. I love every guy on our team. But right now what we're really asking is guys to put the good of the group ahead of the good of their individualism, and to start with attention to detail, so that we can have some accountability coming in within the ranks. Last year, we worked through the same thing. And like I said, you hope that the lessons from one year carry over to the next. But it's hard to hold others accountable. Like, we have to make sure as a staff that we're really working, that and not just working hard, but working smart. We can drop somebody off in the middle of Philadelphia and tell them, get out of here as fast as you can. But if you give them a map to Detroit, they aren't getting out. You know what I mean? Like, you give them a map to Philadelphia, they'll figure their way out. And that's what we have to do. We have to give a good map to our players. And these are analogies that, we share. But you have to give them the right plan. And then you have to get them to buy into it, and then help you execute it. And that's really what we're after right now, is it's hard to hold others accountable without the right map. And so we're trying to get guys individually, it's a lot of it's upperclassmen, individually to be able to bring the other guys along. We have a lot of young guys. We've dressed 4 and 5 forwards that were freshmen last weekend. We dressed 2D each game that were freshmen. They need guidance, and they need direction, and they need teaching from both us and from within the group, and that'll help us mold and help us grow. And that's really what I'm after. It's not a finger pointing thing. It's okay, fellas, we're at this stage of our careers and things like that. Help us out here. Let's start by example, so we can hold others accountable from within the group. Because in anything you do, any business, you got to have the right people, and then they got to get them in the right spots, and then Yeah. Everybody has to buy in to what you're doing. And if we have the wrong plan, then we have to talk that out and adjust it to what we have. And right now we're trying to make sure that our direction is clear as a staff, very clear and direct, so that it falls then on the performers. And then the guys that are best doing it are the guys that are get the opportunity to wear the uniform on a Friday and Saturday night.
There have not been many freshman coaches that have not played in those first two games. Are some of the guys that did not play, whether they be freshmen or not, are they making a push to make it tough for you?
Yeah, they've been. Yes, absolutely. And they're character guys, mm-hmm. and that's the point that you're kind of getting at. It's everything's in my nature, from my upbringing, from we didn't have a lot growing up and things like that. Everything's in my nature that you earn what you get all the time, there are no entitlements, and you're expecting a little bit of some guys. So it goes against everything in me to play guys because they've been here or whatever, and that's kind of what I mean. If they've got to perform, they've got to perform. Now we had some outstanding character guys that we didn't play because we felt that we were getting maybe a little bit more talent or things like that on the other ends. It comes to the point again where you're willing to take a step backwards and go with the character and just be absolutely character based on complete buy-in. As long as they're executing, no one gets a gimme. And if freshmen are executing better than upperclassmen, regardless of who they are, that therein lies where you have a little bit of a disconnect where you're saying, okay, why is this happening? We can understand the talent level and things like that, but why is there attention to detail a little bit more focused than what we would expect out of people who've been through it before?
Well, we've got Wisconsin this weekend. We'll go through some of the other games that happened. There were some scores out there that I was really surprised at. I was mentioning, as you probably heard on the way in, the Northern Michigan series against St. Cloud. Obviously, St. Cloud, a really, really, really good team, but I was just surprised at the lack of offense by Northern Michigan in that series. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But can you touch on the goaltending coach and where Jarusik is at? Is he going to be available?
Yeah, he's ready. He's ready to play. As far as I know, we'll get an in from the training staff. But he practiced last week. He looked good in practice. So I think that position is fully a go. And it was that is a position where guys, the guys that have been there have been through it, mm-hmm. and have worked hard for Devin's worked hard for his entire career here, always gives you a tremendous effort, always gives you a great attitude, and carried that over and gave us a very good performance last weekend. Robbie went in, gave us a great performance, so I'm looking for that position to be a strength for us and to be a good anchor going forward.
All right, a lot more of the Joe Schaan Hour coming up. Hey, if you got a question for Coach, email it to us right now, dj@themix93.com. More of the Joe Schaan Hour right after this.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your one-stop shops for all things authentically Michigan Tech. Our stores offer fresh and sporty Michigan Tech apparel, souvenirs, and unique gift options. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Email campusstore@mtu.edu to join Husky Deals and be the first to know about our sales, promotions, and new offerings. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. Warning, shopping the University Images in the Campus Store may cause smiles, happiness, elation, customer satisfaction, and or accolades from friends and family.
The deals are falling off the shelves at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All Coke and Pepsi 2 liters are 2 for $3. All 6 packs of bottled beers are on sale. All 7-Up 20-ounce product, only 99 cents. Check out the great deals on all your energy drinks, wines, and much more. See the expanded line of Keweenaw Alpaca gear to keep you warm throughout the fall and winter. And don't forget to get your hunting licenses and bait at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
Taking care of people you know. The Levesque Agency has been insuring folks in the Copper Country since 1898. And when you've been providing protection for your Keweenaw neighbors as long as they have, you know you're doing it right. Personal, face-to-face service is what they take pride in and why their customers recommend them to their family and friends time and time again. So trust your home, auto, commercial, and life insurance to an agency that knows the Copper Country. The Levesque Agency, conveniently located on US 41 Calumet, or call 337-0101.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. If you have a question for Coach Schaan, email it to us anytime. And, well, get it in as soon as you can, dj@themix93.com. We were talking about Minnesota Duluth, Coach, and their games over Maine this past weekend. At Maine, 8-2 and 3-2.
I think they're at Duluth, weren't they?
Or, sorry, at Duluth. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
At Duluth, yeah. 8-2 and 3-2 were the finals.
But I think the one game was 3-0, and at one point the shots were like 24-2 or 3 or something like that when I was tracking the game. So they're a good hockey team. They're an excellent hockey team, and as is St. Cloud, who virtually did the same thing to Northern Michigan. They're good hockey teams that play both ends of the ice and compete hard and make you earn everything you have. And, you know, and really what you're going for is you're trying to get good synergy. That's kind of what we're talking with our group. And, you know, what I, my understanding of the word synergy is where, you know, like two are able to become the equivalent of three or four, and three, you know, so we're trying to get so tight so that we can have a great, you know, where our group can be so in tune that we have great support, great overlay, great understanding of positions, so that, you know, D can fill in as forward, forwards can fill in as D. It doesn't, positionally, we know what everybody does. That's what ultimately you're trying to find within a team. This is a little different than football with a team like, let's say, Alabama. They have to have that degree as well so that they can do that and read and things like that. But a lot of that is set plays and certain things off of that, and it's personnel-based. Ours, we have to, there's so much integration and so many different people playing and things like that, that you have to have a great, you know, you just have to be tight. And that's what we're getting at from year to year to year. That's where Michigan Tech continue to make its marks in that. And again, people don't like hearing you talk about the past, but Tanner Carroll knew everything about everything. We talk about that year when with Tanner and with, and we had David Johnstone, we had Shane Hanna. Those guys knew, we never had a bad practice. And we've talked about that. We never had a bad practice the entire year. If it started out slow, it always picked up. You know, you had great players, you'd call them, you know, whatever, guys coming off the bench, guys coming, not playing, things like that. When they went in, they performed. You know, Max Vallis went in and performed. Blake Hiela went in and performed. Those guys went in and made it tough for someone else to, you know, you didn't want to get hurt because you may go a month or 5 weeks without getting back in the lineup. And that's the reason why we went to number one in the country. And Jimmy Phillips did his job. You know what I'm saying? They executed well. They worked well within each other. Probably didn't like everything that went on, but certainly had complete buy-in as a group. Blake Piedla had, you know, he was a great leader. He had great compass to him. You know, all those guys. And that's what you get to. You get to a total understanding of everything within the program that you do and the responsibilities on and off the ice at this great university. And that's really the talk that we had this week. Fellas, it is a privilege to be here. This place isn't for everybody, but it's a privilege. You're not going to find a more energized, enthusiastic, bought-in fan base anywhere in college hockey, anywhere, probably in any sport, in college athletics. We virtually fill the capacity every game. Our support is an extension of our team. Our community is an extension of our team. They are so vested and bought in. They're traveling, they're doing everything. Alumni is totally engaged. What more could you ask for as an athlete? You know, you get everything you want. In turn, there's an obligation to that to be, you know, to be a certain way, and that's what we're trying to make sure that we have, that we always are addressing our culture and getting that culture. And again, we have wonderful guys, great guys, and there's heat to having to perform, right? There's heat. There's heat, you know, when, look at families back in the day when, you know, something would happen to dad and kids quit school. There was pressure, you know, at a young age to help the family. That's the type of mentality we have to have. That's the type of community we have. You know, we just went through a major disaster in the summer and things, and people pulled together. They don't want, no one wants soft. No one wants, you know, poor me. They want people to perform. They want people to give their best and do everything you can to engage and to be part of a group. They support each other. Community supports each other. They want a team that supports each other, and they want a coach that leads it. And so that's what we're trying to do. And we'll get there. Our goal again is to reach our potential, whatever that is. To know that going into every game, we know what we're going to get out of every player, and then to take it as far as we can and compete to the best we can, the best of our abilities. So we come out, we're not seeing mistakes made week after week after week that are consistent.
What about the Ohio State series? Ohio State ranked number one going into the weekend, Coach. They lose against Massachusetts on Friday night, 6-3. Shots were pretty even in that game, and Ohio State comes back and gets a big win on Saturday night, but might have a change in the guards as far as the number one in the rankings going into.
Yeah, early in the year, you're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of... you don't know who's who right now. It's how the team comes together, how they gel. You know, we've seen teams get off to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games, you know, 1 loss in 8 games, undefeated through 8 games, and then struggle. So I remember 1 year Ohio State years ago, number one in the country at Christmas, and never won a single game in the second half of the year. Not a single game. But they were number one at Christmas. That's well into the year. So, again, it's how you finish, not how you start.
How about Bob Daniels' team, Ferris State, gets the win on Friday night over Mercyhurst, falls 3-1 on Saturday night against Mercyhurst. Still a Ferris State Bulldog team trying to find itself, Coach?
Yeah. Everybody right now is trying to find themselves. There's a lot of young players interjecting. So everything that we're talking about right now, every other coach is talking about, most coaches are talking about as well, especially when you have a big turnover.
And Alaska gets a nice tie down at Denver on Saturday night. They lose on Friday night, but come back and tie Denver, another ranked team, 3-3.
Yeah, and another deal with that is you're looking at a new coaching situation there, and you're looking at maybe some changes, maybe some guys expecting different things, maybe a little pushback from some players. And, you know, Jim Montgomery has a great way. He's in Dallas now, but has a great way of getting buy-in and holding guys accountable. And if you don't, you perform, you don't play. And it's very simple. He's very detail-oriented. You know, I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but there could be some of that there. But on the other side of it, let's talk about the positives of it. Maybe the coach in Alaska is doing a great job and has complete buy-in, and those guys are refreshed and energized and creating the synergy that we talk about, and they're going to be a team in our league that's going to be very difficult, and that makes our league better, and that's what we want.
Huntsville only able to muster 2 goals at home this past weekend against Arizona State. Arizona State has proved that they are a team that can beat anybody in the nation right now.
Yeah, they've done a good job in recruiting to a place where a lot of players want to go. They, you know how their degree structure works. A lot of stuff is online and things like that. So, what they're allowed to do is get players to go down and play in that sun. They have a tremendous goaltender, Decord. We saw him last year. He's like another defenseman back there. He was probably the goaltender in the country that I would have taken, you know, that I would have signed last year. He's a big kid with good talent, and again, we saw that. We threw a lot of shots at him for a couple games that they beat us last year, and the last game, it took a goofy bounce off the glass to go into an open net when he was going back behind the net to play a puck. But and then they have you know, Johnny Walker and those guys. They have some good talent. So good hockey team. They got, was it Pashevich? Is that the defenseman they had?
Yeah, something like that.
Tremendous player on the blue line. So they've got a good team there, and they can score some goals, and then they can and also, you know, they've got great goaltending, which gives you a lot of confidence.
One of the other series in the WCHA, involving the WCHA team in non-conference, Minnesota State at North Dakota. I would have loved to have been able to watch this series. Minnesota State beats North Dakota at Ralph Engelstad Arena 7-4 on Friday night. The home team, North Dakota, comes back on Saturday night over Minnesota State 4-3.
Yeah, great series between two of the top teams in the country, and that would have been a great series to watch at North Dakota. I'm sure it was physical. There was a lot of special teams in the game. Obviously, it looks like Mankato's power play is what it always is at scoring goals, and so that would have been a fun series to watch.
Michigan splitting over the weekend, too. They're giving up a lot of goals right now, it seems like, right now, but they've got some offense to combat that, I guess, too.
Yeah, and we know the style of play that Mel likes to have. You know, when I was hired in here, I was hired in, as I think is common knowledge, to bring the goals against average down. I mean, every press conference Mel had, everything, every time, every gathering we had, it was always, you know, between the goaltending and the D-zone cover, you know, get the goals against average down. Mel really likes to run and gun, and he's fine with a 9-8 win. He might even prefer a 9-8 win. I'd prefer a 9-1 win. So, but he does a great job with getting that offense, and they'll get it straightened out. They have an incredible amount of talent on that team, that with Lockwood and Hughes and all the guys that they have. They have a great amount of talent. So.
Michigan beats Western Michigan, both ranked teams, 6-5 on Friday night. Western comes back, and I watched actually quite a bit of that game. Western comes back and wins on Saturday night by a score of 5-4. That was a game where Western had a lead, and then Michigan came back and took the lead themselves, and lots of penalties in that game. I know Michigan had
10.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Michigan had 10 power plays.
Had 10 power plays in that game, and at least one 5-on-3 in that game. So,
and that was in an NCHC rink. That was at Western Michigan
right.
The second night.
Right,
so.
Right. So, all right, well, very good. We've got a lot more coming your way with head coach Joe Sean on the Joe Sean Hour. If you've got a question for coach, email it in, dj@themix93.com.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech, gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay.
Without delay.
Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Best pizza? New York style.
No. Deep dish.
No way. A white pie and wash it down with a Coke.
No. Neapolitan.
Detroit style.
No question.
Unbelievable. I didn't even know they made pizza.
It's gotta be chewy.
No. Extra crispy.
With extra red sauce.
No. Gluten free.
I love cheese pizza.
And a Coke.
Pineapple.
Who puts a pineapple on their pizza?
It's called Hawaiian.
No. Fresh mozzarella.
I want cheese on the pizza and in the crust.
Fork and knife. All day.
Come on.
You'll get folded.
Pizza? Goes best with a Coke.
Has to be Coke.
My pizza goes with a Coke.
You got that right.
I like my pizza with a Coke.
An ice cold Coke.
Pizza and a Coke. Come on.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
Questions about your retirement deserve more than just a call center. Hi, I'm John Nelson, your Houghton Edward Jones financial advisor. Let me show you the difference personal attention can make when it comes to your goals. Contact me today, 906-482-8680. That's 482-8680. Personal attention. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. We'll get to a couple of your questions in just a little bit. You can also email it in, still dj@themix93.com. That is if you are listening this morning on a Monday morning. Huskies taking on Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers this weekend down at Kohl Center. And I think tickets still available for that. That is a ginormous rink, one of the biggest rinks in college hockey in the nation. Fun place to play. I know it's one of those places where the team, the younger staff, for sure, love to go to Madtown and play a series down in Madison.
Yeah, and I think that there's a football game this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm not 100% positive on that, but I believe there is, which makes it that much funner because you're coming back from your pregame meeting and skate and stuff like that, and there's people walking around with all their... I mean, that's a big deal down there and the football stadium's right by the hockey arena, so It's a fun place to play. It's big ice, so it changes the dynamic of the game a little bit. I'm looking forward to playing on the big ice because it's gonna, you know, you have to be that much tighter as a group to cover that ice and you know, if guys are taking themselves out into bad positioning, then it shows up big time, especially against a team that's used to playing on that. I know when I was coaching juniors, we had big ice, and it was a lot easier for us to go from big ice to small ice than it was for teams to come in and play us on our big ice. Our home record was always, I mean, there were years we went without, you know, in 30-something games, never lost at home. It's a lot easier to go that way. So, and you get your guys to skate. You know, they have to skate and cover a lot of ice. So that'll be a fun series. It's a great time, and I like playing them, and they have a great staff. They have a high-octane staff, and so I'm really looking forward to the games.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, Wisconsin, with a couple of games this past weekend, they split at Clarkson, a place that we're going to be playing in just a couple of weeks, 4-2. I should say they lost to Clarkson 4-2, then beat St. Lawrence, who's just down the road from Clarkson, 7-1 in that game. And you look at, I think it's Sean Doogie, who's got 5 goals now in 4 games. He is, he's all around the puck. There's no doubt about that. Looks like he's out there for just about every situation.
And if he's a good hockey player. And then they have Linus Weisbach, who's a very good player. They've got good size on defense. They move the puck well, so it's going to be. And Clarkson's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun trip as well. They're a good team. I wanted to do exactly this trip, and try to set that up with Northern, where we go out and we play those two teams, mm-hmm. and then those teams come back and you get to see a different opponent. I'm a big fan of that different opponent thing, and with Northern being close and other schools being close, I'm trying hard to get them to work that out, but it just seems like Grant has a lot on his, maybe a lot of paybacks or a lot of people that he wants to that he's scheduling games with, so he's scheduling out and we're not able to get those things to work. So, but I think that's great to get some of those teams in here. Like a couple of years, we're going to have Notre Dame come in, and then we're finding an opponent to come in because Notre Dame's going to come play Northern one game and play us one game, and then on the other day we're finding a team to come in here and play us. So I think that's good for fans. I think I think they enjoy seeing two different teams, I think.
It's much more like the Eastern teams are able to play because everybody's so close over there.
Yeah.
You know, nobody plays two nights in a row.
You're home in your own bed every night.
Yeah, you're furthest.
You have a travel partner. You have a travel partner that you're always switching off with. So I like that. And I think with our proximity, it works for us. So I'd really like to do that and get, even if it's, you know, where we're really trying to get old WCHA teams to schedule in, that's what we want to do. We are playing North Dakota next year. They've told us they'll come back up here and play. We don't have anything locked in yet, but we are going there to play one game in the Hall of Fame game next year. That's an exempt game for us. I believe November 2nd, I think, is what it is at the Ralph. So it'll be a good time. But I really would like to start getting some of that locked in. Eastern schools, BC, BU, you know, whatever it is. So there's a lot of people that are right by each other that we'd like to do that with as well.
Coach, we struggled in faceoffs in the Duluth weekend, and some of our best faceoff guys really struggled. Have we been able to address that this week or last week, or is that something you focus on maybe a little bit this week going into the series?
We did not spend time on it last week, to be honest with you. We were dealing with our other issues. Centermen always take face-offs after practice, right. And they work on that. But we will. It'll be starting today. It'll be done. We'll start doing it every day this week.
As you look back at the film, and I don't think we talked a whole lot about this last week against Minnesota Duluth. I know that it's not just the centerman; it's everybody else on the ice that's involved in helping win draws. How much of it was the supporting cast not supporting our centerman?
And it was we were losing draws clean. Yeah, they're bringing them back most of the time. Our jumps off the line of scrimmage were pretty good in the game. We just didn't have a lot of battle situations where we could try to beat them to a puck. A lot of them were just clean, and they're just absolutely clean.
Well, the games this weekend will be a lot of fun, and we know that there are a lot of people from our area are heading down there to watch these games. There should be a big Michigan Tech crowd down there, as there usually is down at Kohl Center.
Every place we go, we have a great following. You know, we go up to Alaska. I know that some good friends of mine, my Aunt Betty Samuelson and their family, are looking at going up to watch us play in Anchorage this year. And you bring your family that lives up there to the game. So even up there, and then we have misfits that travel up there that enjoy that. So you can't ask for more than we have here. You really can't ask for more than more of a college experience than we have here. And like I say, we get just enough snow to keep the riffraff away, to keep, you know, the great people here. And it's a special place for special people. Suzanne said that one time to me. We were talking about recruiting. She said, this place isn't for everybody. And she meant that as a positive. This place isn't, you know, everybody doesn't deserve this place. We want the hardworking people. And kind of you know, it's kind of like Finland, right? And that's, you know, Finland is a climate like this. It's very Alaska. They even have, in a lot of northern parts of it, they have the same thing with Alaska, with the light. And it takes special people to live there, and they're special people, and we have that here. So it's a great place to be.
Lines. We saw line combinations last week against Minnesota Duluth, and then we saw freshmen with those combinations, such as your Gavin Gould, Jake Lucchini, and Bliss. A lot of those lines maintaining throughout these 2 weeks, Coach, or are you really kind of moving them around right now?
We're moving things around. You know, in honesty, what I did somewhat in that first weekend was, and again, right or wrong, was show loyalty to guys that were carrying the mail for us down our stretch last year. I was showing loyalty to guys. Part of the reason that... just straight up that we didn't play. We played Tommy Friday night for size and strength on the line. Ray Bryce didn't play. Part of the reason for that was that line down the stretch last year, if you recall, they had a great game. Well, they had three great shifts against Notre Dame, mm-hmm. but had a really hard time defending. I believe Mason was on that line. They had a really, really hard time defending. So we gave some other guys some chances in that role. Because I didn't have you always have the loyalty to the individual because of they're great kids. Ray Bryce, there's no one that's a better young man than Ray Bryce. He's an absolutely incredible guy. Tommy Breda the same way. Absolutely phenomenal young man. But that's why we played some younger guys in those roles, because those guys struggled defensively, struggled with the part of the game that we want to have consistency, that cat-dog thing that you should always be there, struggled with that part of the game. Like even the Notre Dame game, they were phenomenal for three shifts, scoring chance. Mm-hmm. So we kept going with them. And then they got trapped in our zone and gave up a goal. So the first weekend I was playing the veterans that kind of carried the mail. And then we're sprinkling in, taking a look at some other guys that we thought looked really good in the training camp. Now we're gonna play the guys that give us the best. Maybe showing a little bit too much loyalty, maybe not. But we played well Friday. You got to remember, in our stats, we had a chance to 18-10 in that game. We had a number of breakaways. I expected a really good game Saturday with a few changes. I expected the guys to play well, that played really well Friday, and we didn't necessarily get that on Saturday night. So we really have to make sure that we're rewarding the right thing, the work ethic, the commitment, the dedication to detail, the execution within what we're doing. We threw a lot of schemes last weekend at guys to make them think, to try to really isolate who gets it and who doesn't, so that we can be putting the best brains on the ice with talent. So They're, it's not set right now. We're going to go with, I mean, we have to find penalty killers. We have to find guys, and we have to find defensemen that can penalty kill. We may be using forwards at defense on penalty kill, and that may get a guy in the lineup just because they're more aggressive and more ability to do some things and stuff. So there's a whole dynamic that we're working at, and our job is not to leave anything unturned, to be as prepared as we can.
All right, first question for Coach is, how young do you think schools should be able to contact players, and what do you think is a good age for written NLIs, I think is what he meant to say here.
Yeah, well, tough question, because the question is how early should you be able to contact players? That's really not the way it works nowadays. Nowadays, the way it works is player can contact you before you're able to contact them, which is what happens. You get a contact from an advisor, where they contact you and the contact a lot of people. Okay, I have this kid here. Take a look at him. Do you want me to have him call you? Blah, blah, blah. That's how it works nowadays. So there's people skirting the rules. There's so many of these advisors and things that are working and working against you. We were in deep on a recruit last week, and we know that we were just used for bargaining power. So we send a guy out to watch him, and when he gets out there, we find out when he's out there, when they know that he's coming out there and he's going to see the kid play, that he's committed. Like, he committed during the week, and I talked to the kid the day that he committed, and he was talking about how excited he was that we were going to be out there. And the agent or the advisor gets involved, and all of a sudden they know we're going out, and it calls the other school and saying, well, listen, here's what's going on. Michigan Tech's coming out. You better get this locked down. It's all leverage. So I don't know what I know that the NCAA is going to legislate us against ourselves. They have to protect us against against the players stealing and things like that. They're making things later right now. What I think, talking and beginning communication and committing are two different things. I almost think that they got to find a way that you cannot have a player committed unless you have a spot for him within your group. So if you're gonna commit a kid, you say the date that you're expecting that athlete to come in, and then you have a working list of scholarships, and then you have to, if that puts you over, you have to take somebody off. Even if it's a verbal commitment, you have to take somebody off. Or you can't commit a kid until you actually are able to sign him to an NLI, and you absolutely can't commit him. And if anybody hears that he's committed, if it gets out that kid's committed, then there's sanctions, and that kid can't go to your school. That would turn a lot of things in a different way if you were to do something like that, because right now the stockpiling is the issue, the stockpiling of players. If you commit to a kid and you hold your commitment, and that player is forced to honor his commitment, then everybody's happy. And then you put things in place, such as coaching changes. The commitment doesn't matter anymore. That's a good rule, I think, because you do commit to a coach. Things like that you can put in place. But right now, with stockpiling players and just, decide at the end what you're going to do, it gets absolutely crazy and ludicrous. So I think a couple mechanisms I'd like to see is one where you couldn't have more kids committed. And if you did commit a kid that wasn't on a list that fit within the numbers, then that player couldn't go to your school if you didn't make room for him. I think that would be a step in the right direction. Then at least that kid's available. And then at the end, if they want to drop a kid and add him before the next year and steal a recruit that way, at least it's ethical in my eyes, and you don't have some kid that thinks he's going to your school and he's never going to be at your school.
Very interesting. Next question is, Coach, does anyone from your staff go to watch opponents in person on a week off, such as last week, or can you do all of your scouting from film?
Have to do all your scouting from film. It's illegal to pre-scout live. You're not allowed to go to another arena and, to drive to another arena or fly to another arena and watch a team play. It's illegal. So everything is done. There's a now brand new this year. Before, outside a league, it was a kind of a gentleman's agreement that you would call them and they'd send you, like we did with Wisconsin. They're sending us last weekend's games. We're sending them our first games, but that totally benefited them because we could get their last weekend's games off of BTN Network and things like that, Big Ten Network. But the other side of it is now there's a national thing in place that you have, everybody's going to be able to share opponents like their previous games, so that you can pre-scout off of that.
Well, that obviously does not apply to a tournament situation, right?
You're live at tournaments. Well, you mean when you're there watching the other
team?
Like, yeah, you're there. You're
Are
you're
you
there.
Supposed to not be in the building?
No, you can be there. No, you just can't pay to go to pre-scout another.
Oh, okay.
You can't pay to...
See, I guess I never knew that.
Yeah.
And that's an old rule, too, right? That's not...
It's been around for for quite some time, okay.
Very good. All right, let's get to another question here. How many schools use the take-it-or-lose-it approach in recruiting? In other words, get a kid at campus and tell them that you have an offer and you have to accept it within the next week, or if you visit another school, the offer is off the table.
Wow, there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that deadline players, especially the ones that know if they go visit other schools, their chances are they're not going to get them. We haven't done a ton of that here because I think they know whether they like it or don't like it. I'm certainly not going to do that with younger kids, because what's it mean anyways? They can pull out, and if you pressure them, they can pull out anyways. You're going to basically, if you're going to do that, you're going to do that with a kid in his last year, when you're trying to fill a spot and he's the guy that you want. You say, listen, we got to move on. We want it done with a kid that's maybe in his last year of juniors. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton. The kid we're talking about last week, I'm quite certain that's probably what happened with him. We're going there. I literally got a message from the kid at 2:34 in the afternoon saying, I'm excited to meet your coach that'll be out here, looking forward to it, blah, blah, blah. And then we find out that night at 5 o'clock, he committed to this other school that he had previously visited. So that happened within that he called his advisor, said, blah, blah, blah is going on. The advisor quickly called and, you just know that happened. So, you can play it. That's why I say the relationships with the advisors is so important. But advisors are, you know what they are. It's like all they're looking for is their check at the end. They're looking for that pro contract so they can, start getting money out. Right now, there's no money being transacted on these kids. They're doing it out of, I'm being facetious here, the goodness of their heart, but they want those kids to play at a school where that they think, in their mind, has the best chance of that player making it to the National Hockey League so they can get a big check. So whether that's good for the individual player or not, it's not really... there's a kid, I'll give you an example. There's a kid that we were committing hard a couple years ago in British Columbia. I was recruiting him hard. I like the kid. He was a project player, but he was really starting to trend for me in the right direction. Another school got in on him and went out there, and the agent, advisor, totally got involved. This kid needed another year of juniors. And everybody knew what was going to happen with this kid was that, because they were making, the school was telling him, we're going to send you back. They were telling the junior coach that we're going to send you back to play another year of juniors because you need it. But their full intent was not to send him back. They're bringing him in the following year, and we knew that. So I was up in, I met with the kid. The advisor was there, went up north and watched the game, and then the kid told me he was going to go to this other school. I went down and told him, he didn't tell me he was going to go to the school, he hadn't told me yet. I went back down, I drove back down the next day, drove 8 hours to go back down just to tell the kid, listen, I'm going to tell you what's going on here. They want you to go to school next year. You're not ready. I get it that, okay, you're going to go to this other school, that's what I'm feeling, but you need another year of junior hockey. I'm just telling you now, with the relationship we built, the friendship we built, go to the other school, but you need another year. You're starting to pop now. You need more strength. Your skating is starting to come. Now he's playing CIS hockey. He played 2 years at that school. I don't know if he ever played 2 games in a row at that school, and now he's playing CIS, which is Canadian college hockey. He got let go of the school that he was at, and he's gone. So advisors get too involved with this and get like that's a sore spot with me because it's a very greedy business.
Very interesting stuff. All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more here on the Joe Schott Hour.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mikish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock, or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. So we brew our beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. Those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. And that's why we brew Michelob Ultra to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and a crisp, clean taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who live fit, live fun, live ultra. Enjoy responsibly. 2018 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams of protein, 0 grams of fat, 12 ounces.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
The Hockey Huskies head to Madtown for the second straight season, and you'll hear it on Mix 93. Steal by Jackson. Gets it back. 2-on-1 for the Huskies. Jackson over. He's up. Good. This will prove to be a very important non-conference weekend for both teams as Michigan Tech visits the nationally ranked Wisconsin Badgers at Kohl Center in Madison. Our coverage on Mix 93 starts at 7:30 both Friday and Saturday night. Michigan Tech hockey at the Big Ten's Wisconsin this weekend, only on the Voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ.
All right, we're getting excited about the Wisconsin weekend. 8:07, both Friday and Saturday night from the Kohl Center in Madison. We'll have the broadcast starting at 7:30. But, Coach, you were mentioning advisors and agents. It really is quite a chess match out there these days in that world, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. I'll give you true life examples with people that I know. So I get a, first of all, we're talking about ethics here, and we're trying to instill ethics in young men. We're trying to honor ethics. The colleges now, there's many colleges are really no different. They're acting as agents. And I'll tell you why. I get a phone call from a friend of mine who's an agent, all right? This friend of mine says, you know, you're talking, and he's a friend. Yeah, I trust him. He's a great friend, one of my best friends. And he says that in the business, it's a stealing business. In the business, like even the people that he knows, he calls them and tells them, that, okay, here's what's going on. I will never negative recruit. I will never negative sell you guys. I won't say a bad thing about you guys. All I will do will be tell this player that's represented by another firm what we can offer them and see if he wants to come with us, which is what it's all about, right? So they'll steal it. So what makes anybody think that that's not exactly what goes, so now you're dealing with an agent that does that, that's handling a kid, that steals a kid, and then he's committed to, let's say, you know, whoever. He's committed to school A. But school B, said, you know, they think that that's a quicker ticket to money. There's no loyalty in what they do. There's no loyalty in, and there can't be within what they do. So they send it to wherever they think they're going to get the best ticket. Like, so they say, okay, decommit from that school. I've got a deal worked out with you at another school. So the whole thing is you have to decide in your heart whether you believe in old values and whether you're operating under values, a good value structure or not, or you're going to just say, I'm in it for the immediate gain, which is what the world is at now, and the quick fix, and there is no ethics. I'm going to operate with ethics. That's how I'm going to operate here, and we're going to do everything we can to continue to do it the right way here, and show that it, you know, you can win that way and have success that way and be a great program that way. But that's the business. Now, coaches are doing the same thing. They're going and they're taking a recruit from school A, and they're saying, I got a spot for you. Come to play for us. Well, somewhere along the line, whether they pan out, let's say they don't pan out like this other story I just gave you. Well, they may not be going there. We took you, but hey, you knew the risk. We liked you at that time, but you don't like you now. Or there's another player that you've committed that this kid's replacing. So the whole ethics thing, all it is player brokering. That's why I'm saying something at some point is going to be put in place. But the NCAA is so scared, it seems, so scared because of potential lawsuits and monopolizing and getting threatened by how much money they're making on the backs of players. Like, you see it all the time in the news and in the shows and everything you watch now. It's turning into a crazy where the values, you just can't operate with values, and where the pressure is to not operate with values. Yet it's no problem putting schools under probation or doing things like that, you know what I mean, when they find value issues. So it's a crazy, you would hope that sports would be pure. I want sports to be pure. And at least the good thing now is in today's era of internet and things like that, you can't hide. You know, people can make their own opinion, but you can't hide. That the information gets out as to the way you operate.
So, but how difficult, if more rules were put into place, are these rules to really monitor, you know, and to uphold?
Well, a gentleman's agreement means nothing, which is what a lot of the commitments that are done are when we're talking about this committing early. You're really committing a kid and then babysitting. You know, you're rolling the dice and you're hoping. And that's one thing that we have here is we have some special, unique things that you say to an athlete, if you're not sure, don't commit. We want it to be valuable. But if you look at, we have players right now that were committed here and they're playing for other schools that were committed here that chose to, you know, when Mel left, that, you know,
no, sure, man.
You know what I mean? They chose, and I don't have a problem with that, with coaching changes. But I'm just saying that it's just another thing within the structure. You know, we want players that want to be here as well. So, but we haven't stolen any kids from any other schools, but we do get called all the time. And if a kid decommits, that is an important part of recruiting now, is making sure that you're holding ground for these players, because players that have been committed for 2 years, you know, you saw we had it here. They're committed for years, committed too early, whatever, or just replaced or whatever the deal is, come available. And that is so much more common now because people are committing guys so young that you really have to be on top of it. You have to have relationships with these agents and advisors that I'm talking about to find out who's committing and who's decommitting and have them believe that you're a place that would help a player. But to go out and actually steal a player, that's a whole different thing. To say, how firm is your commitment to that school? How firm is your commitment? You know, that's just a shady slope, I think.
And then you got to go coach the team too, hey, coach. Yeah. All that stuff behind the scenes that you guys have to do, and then.
Well, Chris Brooks has been out of it for a long time, and he's always saying, this. Division I college hockey has really gotten dirty.
Yeah.
It's really gotten dirty. And, you know, it's just, I think hockey is just probably caught up to some of the other sports that they've had to legislate so hard against.
Coach, we're looking forward to it. You guys leaving Thursday morning or Wednesday evening?
I believe Wednesday evening. Are we done? That's an hour?
That's an hour.
No other questions? No nothing?
That's it. No, we're good.
Great.
Thanks for the questions, everybody. And make sure you tune on into the game, 7:30 pregame, both Friday and Saturday night. Huskies will be in action against Wisconsin, who is ranked in the top 20 last week, and I would imagine they'll still be ranked in the top 20. And look forward to it. Safe travels down there, Coach. We'll see you down there.
Thanks, buddy.
Head Coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93 for the Joe Sean Hour.